Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Third and goal from the four. Minshew, shovel passes it, and this time going in for the touchdown, Tyree Jackson.
Well, it was all great at that moment. Ray Dinger, I'm sure you would not have minded if that play occurs, and then it's like, let's all go home. Call it a night.
Would have worked for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have. You were working later than I was, and we both had long days. Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. It's a football Sunday because the rest of the league is playing. But for us, it's a post-game Sunday, something I don't remember the last time the Eagles had a game on Saturday. But they did last night, and they got crushed by the Dallas Cowboys. Let me put it this way, Ray. What did we learn? We learned that Dak and Zeke and all the Omega boys can flex against the Eagles' third stringers. That you can't put guys in the secondary who you just found wandering down Broad Street and expect them to know where each other is on each play. And
oh, that's where they found those guys. I was wondering.
Yeah, I think so. In the parking lot, pregame tailgates, and that the Dallas Cowboys, Dacky and Zeke and all those guys can score 7 touchdowns on a bunch of undrafted free agents called up that morning from the practice squad. That's what I learned. You learn anything more? Anything more than that?
No, that pretty well covers it. I am still, and I was just talking to Kyle, our producer. Mm-hmm. I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out what the hell is Dak Prescott still doing on the field in the third quarter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we do a halftime thing on NBC where, it's sort of a halftime hit, and you're talking about, the first half, and then Amy Fadul, who was hosting, said, so what do you expect in the second half? And I said, well, the Eagles are just going to continue doing what they're doing. But I think the Cowboys have kind of proven their point. Mike McCarthy said he wanted to come into this game, get the offense cranked up, get the guys playing with a rhythm. And they've done that. So second half, we're going to see, more of Gardner Minshew and then Cooper Rush, and Cowboys will start emptying their bench. And then the second half starts, what?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is still in the game? I'm still trying to figure that one out. I mean, if somewhere in the third quarter, and it could happen on any play, but let's say Milton Williams comes through and hits Dak Prescott and cracks his rib. Today, Mike McCarthy looks like the stupidest guy in North America.
It's not a big reach for him.
No, I know he's been accused of that before, but never with more justification. I mean, it was a crazy, stupid game in so many ways. But the one thing I took away from it was, and I still don't know how McCarthy answered it, but what the heck was he thinking?
Oh, I
sending those guys out there in the second half.
I heard his answer. His answer was, here's his official answer. By the way, I'll give you his official answer first. The rhythm and timing going into the playoffs, that was really important, and we talked about that going into the week. I've rested players, I've not rested players, but we felt as a team first year in the playoffs, this was important for us to play. I really wanted us to get into a rhythm I was confident would help us in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which
you did
again,
that, you did that in the first half.
He did that in the first half. You know what? With his final touchdown of the night, Dak Prescott broke Tony Romo's franchise record. I mean, the Eagles, you know, kept in a rookie wide receiver to break a fairly meaningless record in that regard. Jason Kelce played the first play of the game so that he would keep his streak going. Maybe they wanted Dak to get that record. I don't know.
I mean, to me, they kept Zeke Elliott in until he got 1,000 yards. And as soon as he got 1,000 yards, they took him out.
Yeah, same thing.
So, I mean, I guess it falls under the same heading. But to me, it's just, it's really, I mean, who cares? Who cares about breaking the Tony Romo record? I mean, if Prescott had gotten hurt, and again, it can happen on any play in the third quarter, and he's out for the playoffs. It is just so stupid.
So after the game last night, Ray, I know you are not tied into social media, but the Dallas Cowboys social media was crowing with putting the final score up and then three sentences. What a night.
Mm-hmm.
They were very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Jerry Jones in his box. Chris Christie back. Haven't seen him in a while.
I saw that.
Right?
There's not a bandwagon that he won't jump on.
Guy ingratiating
and tip it over in the process.
Yes, Jerry Jones was enjoying the game a little bit too much, and I think the Dallas Cowboys, you know what, I can't promise you that we would have been different if the shoe was on the other foot, but I will just try to look at it and say they enjoyed it way too much, and it begs, so the next question, of course, is does it matter in the playoffs as we move forward, as they play next week, and the Cowboys most likely the four seed that may change today, but they are likely to open the first round on the road. And the Eagles, of course, are going to be the wild card seventh seed, most likely maybe the sixth. Next week, with the Dallas Cowboys in that rhythm that Mike McCarthy talked about, versus the Philadelphia Eagles, who had, 24 of their best players not even dressed?
Yeah.
Is it going to make a difference?
I don't think so. I mean, there'll never be any way to say it with absolute certainty. I mean, if the Eagles go down next week and lose, there'll probably be people say, yeah, you know what? This is a carryover.
Yeah, make the connection, sure.
This is a carryover. You know, they had that momentum, and then I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can say that if you want, and who's going to say you're wrong? But, I mean, you know, the Eagles go into these playoffs. I don't know if this has ever happened before. You got a team going into the playoffs that finishes the regular season without having beaten a single team with a winning record.
Yeah, it's the second time it's happened in league history.
Okay, so that's what they are. They're a team that has not beaten a team with a winning record. Now they're going into the playoffs where everybody has a winning record.
Yeah.
So what are the chances that they're going to advance anyway? I mean, so if they lose next week, you know, I'm looking at it, form holds. You know, the Eagles aren't quite there yet. They aren't one of those teams yet. But there will be people that will say, you know, if they had played their real players, and you know and maybe they beat the Cowboys in that game. They would have kept that momentum, and they would have had confidence, and they would have, I don't know. I mean, I can't prove it, but I can't disprove it. The one thing that I said this to you this morning, and this is just gnawing in the back of my mind, okay? And I may be totally wrong, but I can't help thinking this. I can't help thinking that the memory of Sirianni and that beat Dallas shirt way back in September is still stuck in Mike McCarthy's craw. And he had this opportunity last night to say, you know what? I'll take care of that guy. Beat Dallas? Now, here you go. Take this. You know, we're gonna drop a 50 burger on you right in your stadium in front of your own fans. You know, build a T-shirt around that one.
I certainly can't tell you that you're wrong, and you and I know how motivation works in pro sports, and teams love to kind of build up that outrage and then play it back. So yeah, you may be right. I don't know.
I don't know. But bringing Prescott out and having him play in the third quarter after they score on all five possessions, he's thrown for 240 yards in the first half. I mean, how much more rhythm do you need?
Yeah.
You know, so to bring him back out in the third quarter and run the risk of him getting one hit and being out for the playoffs, it was just so stupid.
Yeah,
even by Mike McCarthy's standards.
And a conga band, Ray.
So stupid that I just had to think. I kept thinking, I wonder if that could have possibly been part of it. But listen, you know what? Eagles, Cowboys, we've talked a little bit about, I don't know if the rivalry is what it used to be. you know, maybe it's not quite what it used to be. Maybe the thing, a little bit of that hate is gone. I think it just threw maybe tossed another log on that fire last night.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Next year, first time they meet, you would like to think that the Eagles will remember this. And the good news in that game is that most of the back seven that we watch tonight will not be there. Certainly won't be there in the playoffs.
They'll be out on Patterson Avenue selling peanuts.
I'll single out one guy, although we'll talk about many tonight. Andre Shashir.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, does he not belong in the National Football League.
Certainly appeared that way.
God bless that guy. He got his moment, but he's clearly incapable of doing that. So anyway, that's where we start today. 215-592-9494. Our friend Mike Arafolo, former WIP midday producer, mm-hmm. now a star at the NFL Network. He was in town for the game last night. We'll kind of pick his brain about that and about the first round of the playoffs, where the Eagles are going to go and kind of elsewhere. Okay, so the Eagles did have a couple of injuries, pretty much to reserves. Tyree Jackson, who caught that first touchdown, hurt his knee. Did you have any impression of him, Ray, before that moment?
Just the impression that I had from training camp, which is there's a lot of promise there. I mean, he's got a lot to learn. He's quarterback trying to learn how to play tight end. But, I mean, you saw in the summer how much potential he has. I mean, a big guy who can really catch the ball, seems willing to block. I think that there's something there worth developing, but it still needs some developing.
Yeah. Sean Bradley hurt his shoulder. That could be a loss in the postseason. He's very good special teams player, of course. And some backups got dinged up. I don't know to what extent. Andre Dillard left the game. Brent Toth, who played center after Kelsey went out, and cornerback Kerry Vincent Jr. But, I mean, if the whole point was to, and I don't mean to minimize anybody's injury, but if the whole point for the Eagles was to avoid a player who you care about, I don't want to say care about, a player who you rely on in the postseason getting hurt, you avoided that.
Mm-hmm.
Although, by the way, so I watched the first half. We did the pregame, a lusty 3 hours. And then I went up and watched the first half in the stadium, and then it's like, you know what, I'm going to go home and watch. I did not feel like fighting traffic at 11:30 at night, so I went home at halftime. And I'm listening to Lewis Riddick, who I generally thought was pretty good. I mean, I've always regarded him as a smart, insightful guy. He's talking at the end like, oh, Greg Ward, that's a guy they're really going to rely on in the playoffs. They need him. And, you know, Tyree Jackson's hurt. Oh, boy, they certainly don't want to lose him before their playoff game. We always harp on the national guys, and maybe it's not fair, but did you get a sense that none of those guys, Steve Levy, none of those guys did any homework before this game?
Sort of felt that way, yeah. Yeah, and I've seen them during the year, and I think they generally do a good job. I especially like, you know, I don't think Brian Greasy brings a whole lot to it, but I like Riddick a lot.
Always liked Riddick.
Yeah, I have too. I like him in the booth at a game, and I think he's a really good studio guy when they have him on as a guest. Because he really is, I mean, his years as a scout have served him well. I mean, he knows everybody in the league. He can pick up the phone and call anybody and get honest opinions. And he develops honest opinions on his own. I mean, he watches a lot of tape, and he comes up to conclusions that, yeah, this guy can play and this guy can't. And generally, he's right, I think. That's why I have a feeling he's going to be, you know, he's going to be in a front office somewhere along the line. I mean, it happened for Mike Mayock. I think it's going to happen for him, too, one of these days. Might even be this offseason. Who knows?
No.
But, he said a couple things last night that I thought just seemed a little odd to me. And I kind of came to the same conclusion as you did, that they didn't prepare for this game the way they prepared for other games this year, because they knew that it wasn't a game that meant a whole heck of a lot.
It felt that way at the stadium. It felt that way there. And I know there are a lot of people who are upset that the Eagles didn't play anybody, that this game went down the way it did. I mean, you know, you and I listened during the week. I know you were on with Angelo, who was emphatic that the Eagles should play their guys. I heard you in postgame last night with Seth, who felt that by not playing the guys, the Eagles reduced their chances to win in the postseason.
He hated it.
I know he did.
I mean, he was stomping around. I mean, he hated it so much.
But, I mean, we've seen evidence that it doesn't, and the evidence was the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they tanked the last game against Dallas.
At the link.
In a similarly uninspiring kind of performance, that one being the offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing, but in the opposite way. I mean, this one was embarrassing because your defense couldn't stop anybody. That was embarrassing because your offense couldn't score a point. You got lost the game 6-0.
All right, let's make a couple talk about some impressions that we did have. Where as the show goes on, we're going to talk about the wide receivers. But my God, Ray, Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside should just not be on this team next year. Hmm. Hideous performance by both.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray, what are you clinging to?
No, I'm not clinging to any. I'm clinging to
that was a fairly qualified. Yeah, I mean, I'll play the highlight, the low lights for you later.
Well, no, I mean, I'm with you in spirit. I'm just looking at it from is Howie really going to bite the bullet here and say, okay, these number one pick and a number two pick, I'm just going to cut them.
No. I mean, that is my sense right now. I'm really reacting out of what I saw last night.
Oh yeah, no. So what you saw last night, what you've seen ever since they've been here,
right?
There's no evidence that either guy has given you. Really, I mean this as literal truth. There is no evidence that on base of anything you've seen, either of these guys do in a game. I'm not talking about one moment on a practice field. I'm talking about in a game. There's not a single thing you can point to and say, yeah, this guy could be an NFL player.
No.
I mean, you haven't seen it yet.
No, dreadful. And on the short term. Also, is it possible they'll find a spot for Jason Hundley on the roster just to be a return guy? He looked better to me as a return guy last night than Rager's looked all year.
Oh, by far. Because he does what return guys have to do. He takes it up the field.
He runs.
He doesn't run. Sideways.
He runs forward.
Yeah, I mean Rager has. The thing with Rager is it's not just that he runs sideways; he runs backwards.
Oh God, yes, that's jet sweep. He did it again last night, and it's like, oh, I get to watch him run parallel until he's out of bounds.
But to follow up on your point on Hundley, Hundley's been on the practice squad all year, and he's a guy that has some talent. He really does. I mean, if you look back on what he did at New Mexico State, okay, small school, but what he did there, I mean, he was a seven yards a touch guy. And that's from scrimmage. I'm not talking about kick returns. He's an explosive runner with good instincts and a heck of a lot more acceleration than you've ever seen from Jalen Reagor.
Yeah. Also last night, I really did love watching Kenny Gainwell. I thought he looked very good. I know this has been an up-and-down year for him, some fumbles and such. But 12 carries last night for 78 yards, 6 touchdowns, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most touchdowns. It equals the most touchdowns an Eagles running back has had in 68 years. You could probably tell me who it was 68 years ago. I cannot. But I was pleased to see that. I don't imagine he's going to get much work in the playoff game next week because they're not going to rely on a rookie, and the veterans are going to be back. I'm assuming Howard is going to be healthy enough they can use him too, and Miles Sanders and Boston Scott, and that's what I imagine next week. But that they ran for 149 yards last night, 5.5 yards average,
mm-hmm,
without Sanders and Howard and Boston Scott and without their offensive line. Man, Ray, running team galore.
Yeah, and that to me was the one thing you took away from it and said, yeah, that was pretty good, was the fact that they were able to run successfully against the Cowboys. They didn't have Micah Parsons, but other than that, the guys on the defensive line were the real players.
Yes, they were.
And the offensive line, who you didn't have a single starter, with the exception of Kelsey in a cameo just to keep his streak going, but you were played with all backup, and in some cases, backups to backups, offensive linemen, and they were ripping open some pretty good holes, and the backs were taking advantage of it. So that was the one area in which you looked at and you said, oh, that was pretty good. So you can feel pretty good about that, but not much else.
I like Gainwell moving forward.
Oh, I do too.
I don't know how the running back situation works out next year. Sanders is under contract, but I don't know what they're going to offer him, an extension, move him, keep him, whatever. But Gainwell, I think, has showed more last night and has shown this year that he's a guy who can be part of your future.
Yes, he can. I really liked him from the draft. I remember, I remember when the draft was coming along, it was well into day three, and we're into the fifth round, and I was looking at my board, and, at this point I had drawn lines through just about all the top guys who were gone, and his name just jumped out at me. I said, wow, he's still there. And without really thinking that the Eagles were going to take him, because the Eagles have some backs. I didn't know they were looking for one. But at that point in the draft, it doesn't hurt to always get that extra running back, and he was far and away the best running back that was still left on the board in the fifth round, almost to the point where I kind of wonder, wait a minute, there's something.
Might be part of the story.
Wonder if there's something wrong here, if there's something off the field or if he has some kind of injury we don't know about. but they got him, and he came in and really was very good during training camp, and he's had some opportunities to play. Not a lot, but he's had some opportunities to play. And what he's shown you is that he's got a lot of skill. He really does. He can run the ball from scrimmage. The thing he does best is catch it. I mean, he's really a good receiver out of the backfield. He's got to learn some stuff about blitz pickup. He's got to become a little bit more physical, I think, running the ball between the tackles. But you can definitely see the ability is there. And I think he's a guy that he's definitely going to be part of your future.
Like it. Now, I know a lot of people, Ray, are going to disagree with us about resting the players last night. Some are going to think you just never do it. As I said, I heard Seth Joyner's position. I heard Angelo during the week. And some people, I think, just feel like they got ripped off for their entertainment dollar last night. And I get that as well. I mean, you know, you get season tickets. You want that to be a viable game, and it wasn't. But we're about to hear that. And the first caller who wants to say that is Al in Norristown. Hey, Al.
How you doing?
All right.
Good. So I got more of a question. I understand, you know, the players, you don't want to get your players hurt. But yet, during the regular season, pretty much most of the NFL, if there is a team that's up by like 14 points, they don't take their starters out, even though they know they're going to win the game. They're not thinking about injury during regular season. So my question to you and
I've seen it happen.
Well, yeah, it does. But
I mean, you see backup quarterbacks come in, right, and just kind of
that happens, but to a much smaller extent. That's my belief. But what would have been wrong if the Eagles would have went out and put, for lack of a better word, the second string and platooned the guys back and forth and let one non-starter get in and play a couple sets of downs and then back them out, put another one in, take your quarterback out, bring another quarter? Would that create more injury, or would it give everybody a chance to play and keep the score closer?
Well, my feeling is, you know, anytime you put one of your starters in the game, even if it's just for a series, you're running the risk of him getting hurt. You know, that's why the idea of you go into this game where we don't want anybody to get hurt, so they're just going to play the first half. What, like guys only get hurt in the third and fourth quarter? I mean, you can get hurt in the first series. I mean, if the idea is to try and preserve your number ones and to make sure that they get to the playoffs and the playoff games as healthy as they can be, then you just don't play them. You know, the idea, we'll play a quarter, and then they'll come out. Well, they can get hurt in the first quarter, too.
Yep.
So you're either going to protect your players and preserve your players and make that decision that, no, it's more important that we get everybody healthy for next week when we got to go out and play the playoff game. If that's what you think you got to do, then you're better off just not dressing them, I think.
And the other thing is, too, I'm sure that every starter wanted to play. I mean, they all want to play. That's what they do. They want to, you know, get in the game. I just was under the impression if they would kind of work the second stringers in and out of the game and just give everybody a little bit of play in time instead of – now, yes, anybody could get hurt, but like I say, it could happen during the regular season.
Yeah, and it can happen in practice as well. Yes. But this is – and thanks, Al. Thanks for the call. Have a great day. This is not the first time we've seen it. It's certainly not the first time this organization has done it. We just referenced the year they won the Super Bowl. Andy Reid did it on a regular basis. It's not fun to watch. I mean, it's, you know, the last game of the year, the Dallas Cowboys, you want it to be an exciting, competitive game. You want to win. It's a home game. You want to be there and see them win. So it's not fun, but there is a logic to it. 215-592-9494. Ray, coming up, I take the knee.
Okay.
I imagine, Ray, you will enjoy the next segment of our show as much as you have enjoyed anything that we've done in a while. So I'm just telling you, I am prepared to take the knee.
All right, and I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sure you are. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, Sunday morning following an Eagles loss on 94 WIP.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.